You're listening to the soon-to-be-named network, the Lamborghini of podcast networks.
Final Wrestling Place.
Final Wrestling Place.
Kevin Nash.
I'm ready to ride.
I couldn't find the tingle. Oh, man. How are you recovered from Guns N' Roses, my man?
I'm not going to lie. They had us in the first half. I'm a little sleepy.
Dog. They updated the set list website of what all they played.
Uh-huh.
Dog. I'm going to just read off some of these. And you tell me if you've ever heard of You're Crazy, Rocket Queen, You Could Be Mine, Wanna Be Your Dog.
Rocket Queen, You Could Be Mine. Yes.
But like those are...
You Could Be Mine's a big one.
Well, I could care less about You Could Be Mine. I'm just mad they didn't do Patience.
No Patience. That was a tough one. That was a real hard, tough
nut to swallow, as Ric Flair would say. It's a real hard nut to swallow. That's right.
Yeah. But it was, I've seen them before. So for you and for anybody who doesn't know, we were at Guns N' Roses this weekend.
GNR baby, tour open.
Now, I want to set the table because we were still in the midst of a global pandemic. We were at an outdoor venue. We were at, the top of the top and, we had nobody to our sides. And I think you had two people down below you. There is nobody in front of me.
Yeah.
So as safe could get.
Yeah.
If you're going to be out.
And we're all like double vax Jones.
Yes.
Like is what it is. Like until I'm trusting the science. And when the science changes and it's across the board, like don't do that. Then I'm going to not do that. But until then, I'm a sin. Let me sin. Like
It does feel like sinning going outside without a mask.
I've been good for 18 months. Let me sin. And then when God says, thou shalt not be outside with a mask on or without a mask on, then I'm going to put it back on. But until then, I'm going to do like some figure collectors do and let it breathe, you know?
Yeah. But this is your first concert experience in a while.
Yeah.
And your first one at Hershey Park Stadium.
Yeah, it was nice. The open air venue was nice. The acoustics were gorgeous.
Yeah. It's a good setup they got there. It's my favorite place to catch a show. And catch some tunes. But Guns N' Roses, what'd you think, man? Obviously, we're disappointed. No Patience. But other than that, they played all the hits.
Yeah, they did.
And song.
They hit everything. I'm not mad at it at all. I thought it was a nice, good, fun experience all around. I got all the songs I wanted except for Patience, and they technically subtracted Patience and added a song that I didn't think they were going to do. But as a mathematician, I know 2 + 2 = 4, and I know that Duff McKagan and Slash were a part of a group called Velvet Revolver, and they have the rights and privileges thereof to do whatever the H they want with that music. and they did Slither.
Yes, they did.
And I was like, what? We're doing this? That was nice. That was nice.
That was really nice. I think they did Slither 2 the last time they were here, but I mean, that was 4 years ago by this point. So I had forgotten that it was
on the table.
It was on the table. Forgot it was on the menu.
Yeah, I got, so of all the songs I wanted to hear, I got Welcome to the Jungle, I got Slither, I got Live and Let Die, I got Civil War, Sweet Child of Mine, and November Rain. Everything else could have gone away. You could have taken everything else and pushed it away, and they could have done those songs, and I'd have been happy.
Yeah, they had a good closing stretch where they did You Could Be Mine. I think it was You Could Be Mine. Then it was the solo. Guitar solo.
Well, so they did You Could Be Mine, and then they did the Duff song.
Uh-huh.
Duff singing I Want to Be Your Dog by the Stooges, which is actually the first time, apparently it's the first time they've ever done that song on tour.
Oh, wow.
And then they went from I Want to Be Your Dog to Civil War to Dead Horse, then to the Slash guitar solo where he did some Muddy Waters, which was nice, and then Sweet Child of Mine, November Rain, Knocking on Heaven's Door, Night Train, and then Paradise City to close out.
Yeah. It was a hot finish, man. It was a hot finish. I feel bad because we were trying to pull the true dad moves now that, you know.
We're all true dads here.
We're all true dads.
Whether we're actual dads or we're dads at heart. We got big dad energy, and
we had the game plan. All right, here's the songs that we need to hear, and the consensus was Sweet Child of Mine, and we knew it was probably going to be towards the end, and Patience, which I also knew was going to be towards the end.
Right,
and
so we thought they were going to do a double song encore, and they were going to do Patience and Paradise City. So then the encore happens and it's just Paradise City. So we're like, well, crap. Now it's Paradise City Patience.
Weird note to send people home on.
Right.
On Patience.
Right. And then at the end of Paradise City, Axel completely yeets his microphone into the crowd. And we're all like, that's it.
He Taka Michinoku'd it.
Yeah, he
out the rumble.
He sent it. He sent that. And it was really nice though, because it was like we got to watch Axl Rose become Axl Rose during the entirety of the concert. I didn't talk to you about this, but like Axl starts off and he's just got like his cool dad jeans with the tears in them, and he's got the string of bandanas out his butt pocket. Then halfway through the show, he leaves and comes back in a bandana. We're starting to get to true Axl Rose here. Then he leaves and comes back in a black hat.
Right. Think Painmaker, but Axl Rose.
Painmaker, Axl Rose. And then he leaves again and comes back and he's got a tan hat on.
I think like HBK.
Yeah, like HBK dad hat. Like straw hat, but I don't think it was a straw hat.
No,
and
it was
then
like leather or something.
He came back out with a black hat.
Yes.
I think he changed shirts like three times during the concert.
Four shirt changes. Which I appreciate.
Meanwhile, Slash and Duff and the boys are out there sweating out their Guns N' Roses or sweating out their Rolling Stone shirts.
Slash's shirt by the end looked like a sick shirt.
Yeah.
It looked like it was two sizes too big because of how sweaty it was.
It's like he wore it to sweat out the fever, and the fever broke in the shirt. And then his shirt is drenched.
And then he wore it the next day as well.
Yeah. Like he's like, yeah, I still don't feel great, so I'm staying in it. I'm not at my best. But yeah, it was all in all, it was a good show. I'm glad I went. It was Megan's first concert of like, and I don't want to sound like that guy, but like she's been to one other concert, and it was Ninja Sex Party, which is like a, it's a nerd group.
Yeah, not a mainstream act.
No, like for those who are like video game aficionado or like video game heads and like watching that YouTube content, it's one of the dudes from the group of called Game Grumps. He has a band. So it was like his show, and there was like a couple other artists there. But like this was the first mainstream act that Megan had seen, and she absolutely loved it. I'm like, I'm glad. So now we're going Double or Nothing, and if you end up getting tickets to the thing we were talking about in September, she's down for that too.
Okay, all right. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, put that in the pocket.
In the pocket.
But welcome to Final Wrestling Place. I'm Tim.
And I am still Marcus.
And thank you guys so much for joining us yet again here on the Soon to Be Named Network or wherever you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audible. I think we're on Audible now. Amazon Podcasts, Spotify. Of course, the mothership of SoundCloud, baby. But thank you so much for joining us in the summertime radness season. Last week, we covered MDK versus MDK. Go back and listen to that. And we had mentioned on the podcast then that we were going to cover the night Lex Luger beat Hulk Hogan for the WCW World Championship on Nitro. But then the unthinkable happens. And I feel like we had just had this conversation where you listen to At Odds with Wrestling on the Soon to Be Named Network, and you listen to We Need Wrestling on the Soon to Be Named Network, and it's a slow news week, and there's not much to talk about. And like what we do here is Vince McMahon and Nick Khan come out and talk about how the only competition that WWE has is sleep. And we hear that they don't feel that AEW is competition because it's not like Ted Turner's coming after us, pal. And we hear all that stuff. And we hear the WWE tout that record earnings, big money coming in.
Again.
Big money coming in again. And then we all see on the Twitter machine, the WWE has come to terms on the release of Bray Wyatt. Huh? What?
Yeah, and initially, you know, like he's a unique case. He's been very, let's say he's been very transparent, but he's been like, he's put stuff out there on social media.
I would say he's more transparent than like you want to give him credit for. I mean, he's out there talking about, you know, what other people in the industry, at least in the WWE, would say is like weakness, which is mental health.
Yeah, he's been forthright about his mental health and where he's been and the effects that, you know, negative tweets and negative comments and, you know, more than just like, oh, you know, the match was bad, I didn't enjoy it. Like, there are some real filthy hyenas out there that put out, like, you know, death wishes for stuff that they don't enjoy. And that's way too much. And so, yeah, like he's put out stuff addressing like how that affects him and his like mental state, and so when he got released, that's the thinking is like, well, you know, maybe he just needed a clean break. And then later in the day we find out, you know, that doesn't seem to be the case at all.
It doesn't at all. It's just, I don't get it. Not at all. Like, it's, I don't want to say it's, I guess it's short-sighted. Because you would think that a company like the WWE would understand what it is that's goings on with their talent and be willing to work with them and like keep them on the payroll and to keep them, you know, in the fold per se. And instead of, you know, doing the right thing per se and like saying, hey, take your time, however long you need. It's apparent that actually, like, so the depending on what you believe or who you believe, due to the stories that, you know, Bray Wyatt was scheduled to come back in August.
Probably at the SummerSlam.
Dog, it is August 1st. And this goes right into line with every other release as of late. Braun Strowman was just in the main event of a pay-per-view and then got let go. Aleister Black was in the middle of starting a feud with Big E and gets let go. The Ever-Rise boys move their YouTube show from Saturdays to Thursdays, and they move it from Twitter to the YouTube, the actual WWE YouTube, and get fired 2 days after their debut episode on YouTube. And it is painfully obvious that Nick Khan is a master mathematician in the dollars and cents of the World Wrestling Entertainment, and is just looking at just bottom line dollars and cents and going, we haven't seen him in a while. Gone. How much does this guy weigh? Gone. And just striking the record multiple times. It also leads me to believe that Vince McMahon is not in control anymore. Like, it's his company. It is everyone will say it is his company. But I don't think we've ever seen Vince, like, we've seen big cuts before over the history of the company. But we've never seen cuts of wrestlers who just debut or return and then get cut 2 weeks later.
Vince doesn't cut his stars unless it is absolutely must do. Like, is Kurt Angle the biggest guy that's been cut by Vince McMahon?
And the reason why Kurt Angle got cut was because WWE wanted to send him to rehab, and Kurt was like, you know what, actually, I want to step away. And he pulled a Kevin Nash, WCW style. He's like, yeah, I got to quit. I got to get away. And then he gets his outright release and then shows up on Impact.
The Impact Zone. Yeah. How long did Vince McMahon eat Shawn Michaels' contract? Jim Ross has talked about that on his podcast. Shawn Michaels was getting his downside guarantee. Six figures. Year after year after year. Until he came back.
That's 4 years.
Yeah. Was never an option to cut it. You know, and I think there's a separate conversation to be had, and maybe we can have this conversation quickly. This is not really related to Bray Wyatt. It's more so painting with a larger brush some of these releases. There is something to be said for people constantly complaining that, oh, we've seen the same guys. Oh, this day 10 years ago, Dolph and Kofi faced each other. This year, 10 years ago, The Miz won the title, and now he's winning the title again. All these dates that people are pulling up from, you know, the same guys doing something with the same people 8 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever the case may be. And people cry. I mean, like, people voice their desire for roster turnover.
Right.
And I get that. And if you look at the run, especially like major stars from our childhood or quote unquote, like the golden years, Teddy Biasi, it was 5 years, Mr. Perfect off and on for 6 years. You can go down the list and it's very rare for anybody to exceed like 6 years of a constant run. And now we've gotten into a point in time where without competition and with guys being smarter and seeing all the mistakes that people made before them, getting into tax trouble, multiple divorces, you know, living outside their means.
Substance abuse,
everything else. Guys are keeping home happy. Guys are saving their money. Guys are doing whatever they can to make that money and make that career last longer. So you have more guys now not doing drugs, not doing harmful things. Or not drugs as heavily as the previous generation. And guys aren't falling off after 6 years or 5 years and completely killing their bodies. They're able to last 10, 12, 15 years, even longer. So that brings it back to like this thing of roster turnover. Like, yes, we need roster turnover and it sucks to see releases. But like Bray Wyatt's a guy you just don't get rid of because you need to freshen things up. Like that's, I don't think like he's a case of, well, you know, he's been around for a super long time. And it is possible. I know like we were talking in a different chat. It is entirely possible for somebody to be presented pretty heavily their whole run, for them to be featured pretty much their whole run, for them to even be world champ during their run, and for them to still be untapped, for there to still be, you know, more water in that sponge.
Right.
Bray Wyatt's a guy that like, yes, his matches, sometimes it overstayed his welcome. Sometimes you might see a little bit of IRS more than Barry Windham or more than Blackjack Lanza, Mulligan or whoever. You know, sometimes that Captain Mike would come out. But that's not his fault. He's not the one setting the match times. You know, I think like shorter matches, there's so many things that could have been done differently to really make this character and make this guy something special. And he was and is something special. And it's like all completely of his own doing. Like how much has he succeeded against, like in spite of the company, you know, he's working for?
You have to think about his resources too. Like I'm trying to remember where I was, where we were the conversation of Bray Wyatt came up and the Tom Savini stuff.
Yeah.
And like, did Bray pitch to WWE to reach out to Tom Savini to get the stuff done? Or did Bray go to Savini and say, I want this, make me this. And then Bray brings the complete package to the WWE and goes, look, here's what I have.
Yeah, they're always saying, go get yourself over. Go be creative, blah, 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 blah. And it's another example. Like, it, you know, talking with, like, my fan hat on, it makes it difficult to get behind guys because the last year plus has shown anybody can be gone at the blink of an eye.
And here's the true story, another part of the story, to use Vince's words and Nick Khan's words against them. They said AEW is not a threat. Well, they are putting themselves in a WWF WCW situation. Because back in 94, and 93, 94, WWE unloads on a lot of their top stars. Hulk's gone. Randy's gone. Earthquake. Hacksaw. They cut
Ric Flair.
Flair. Beefcake to a certain degree. The line goes on and on. And all of these people then show up at WCW. And then eventually Hall and Nash jump and go to WCW. And then the tide really swings. The problem here is that I don't think, I'm fairly certain that there's no one on the other side of the coin in any promotion that's going to be so unhappy and be a major star like an Austin, like a Foley, like a Triple H that can leave, come over, and rebuild. There's no one on that other side that's unhappy and is big enough to make a wave back across the bow. The only one I can see on the AEW side that would be anywhere close is Hangman Page. But I don't see Hangman going anywhere. Time will tell. And like, if we're looking at the timeline of it, we got to wait like 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, somebody's going to click with all these releases. It's bound to happen. An idea is going to click. The right people are going to click. And we're going to be in for a really interesting next couple of years. The increased programming, like AEW really seems to have it together. Say what you want about the EVPs, but like Tony Khan himself, he seems to have a game plan, seems to know what he's doing, and doesn't look like the funds are going to be running out anytime soon.
Right.
So it looks like AEW is here to stay. I hope, like, we, this again, like another conversation, like I am pulling really hard now for AEW or any other company to really succeed and to really click on something and to really bring mainstream attention back to an alternative company, because that might be the only thing that possibly brings back urgency with the WWE product.
And it's not even so much AEW by themselves. Like, the one thing that differentiates AEW from WWE is their willingness to work with other promotions. I mean, look at the Bound for Glory Impact trailer. Mm-hmm. New Japan, Impact, AEW, and I think like AAA. All three of them are going to be involved in Bound for Glory.
Sorry, what is that event, Tim?
Bound for Glory.
Thank you.
TNA Wrestling. and so we have all that. Those, the Forbidden Door is like a meme at this point. But also, it's true.
Like, over 1 million people just saw Nick Gage do his thing on national television with Chris Jericho.
On the same show that they saw Tanahashi cut a promo for the IWGP United States Championship on a title that was being defended on AEW. Plus, you have these rumors bubbling over what the first dance is going to be and all of that stuff and who or whom that might point to. There's a lot of things to be excited for on one side of the equation. And there's seemingly less things on the other side of the equation to stay excited for. Right now, Roman Reigns is Shawn Michaels. Roman Reigns is the one thing on the WWE that AEW doesn't have that everybody's excited about. Just like when everybody jumped ship from WWE to WCW, the one guy left was Shawn Michaels. Yes, Bret was still around. Yes, Undertaker was still around. But everyone was like, well, they've got Shawn Michaels. Shawn's exciting. Shawn is the difference maker. And that's where Roman Reigns is right now. Roman is single-handedly making the conversation for WWE still there. And that's only SmackDown. We're not even talking about Raw. And back when Shawn was doing it, there was no SmackDown. It was just Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, like, I understand WWE views itself as Marvel, this giant enterprise with all these characters and offshoots and a whole bunch of stuff that I'm not qualified to talk about. But when people turn on the television, they see wrestling. No matter how long it's tried to been branded as sports entertainment, people see wrestling. That's what's on the TV. And you can't take the wrestling away from what WWE does. And when you compare it to what is on the other side of the coin, as we keep saying, maybe it's just because we fit in the demo, but it's a lot more excitement on that other side of the coin right now. And I don't know, man. It sucks. I don't like it. Makes it hard to, I don't know, man. It's a tough blow. It's a tough blow. It really sucks.
Yeah. That's really all that it boils down to, especially as us being like, or you specifically, like, the Mr. WWE guy, like pro WWE style, love everything about it. Finding the good side of the story as opposed to the bad. And I guess the older we get, the less we're able to just look at what's happening in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the other side of things, and it's kind of like with real life in general. The older you get, you're generally less interested in politics. You're generally less interested in like financial stuff, like investing and things like that, or equity or anything like that. And as you get older, all that stuff starts to come into play, and you're more interested in the stock market, and you're more interested in what's going on Capitol Hill. And you're more interested in what's going on across the world. But then also you're more interested in like what exactly your favorite X, Y, and Z are doing. You're more interested. And if it doesn't quite line up or there's something amiss at the crick, you gotta figure it out and make your decision. And, you know, WWE's been a chore to watch. We've all agreed on that. Am I still going to watch? I hate to say yes, I will still watch. But I think I might have just placed my last WWE.com or shop.com order for merch. I think I might have placed my last order. Or if I do buy something from shop, oh, it's going to be at a discount. I'm not paying full price no more. Like, they're going to have to basically tell me it's $5 to take this out the store. I'm not paying full price anymore. And I'm going to start spending my ducats somewhere else. And I don't necessarily like, that's a whole different story, because the other side of the coin is that Chicago-based t-shirt company.
Mm-hmm.
That's acting as the storefront for AEW. But yeah, figuring it out and figuring out where to spend the monies on us. Like, case in point, independentwrestling.tv, a wonderful alternative to Peacock and the WWE Network. I think like the year before the pandemic, independentwrestling.tv put out more hours of new content than the WWE Network did.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that beats that. And then regardless of what side of the coin you're on, there's wrestling on Fight. There's wrestling on YouTube. There's wrestling everywhere. Just got to want it. You got to find it.
Yeah, it's there, and there are ways to support your favorites that are now unsigned or have always been unsigned. That's just my biggest takeaway. Like, I'm rooting so hard to see my friends get rich. That's where I'm at.
Exactly. It's not, I don't want it to be an us versus them type conversation. But also, like, there's some hubris on the other side. And the phrase that's been used internally between us is too big to fail.
Mm-hmm.
They also said the Titanic was an unsinkable ship. It may not fail and completely end, but systemically, it could fail. It could fail in what it's doing currently and necessitate change. I think you said it, and I mean, I'll put the words in your mouth, and I don't know if it's something you want repeated, but like, I'll edit it out if you're not down with it. You're very interested in seeing what the power struggle will be like once Vince McMahon is gone between Nick Khan and Triple H.
Yeah,
that good to stay in.
Keep it in.
Okay,
we're live, pal.
Like. But it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's the business side versus the business side. Mm-hmm. And if anything, like, what if Triple H is like, yo, just give me NXT?
It's somebody who knows how to run a business versus somebody who knows how to run that business.
A mom and pop versus a big box store.
Yeah.
Or a person who knows how to run this specific mom and pop versus a person who knows how to run a type of store that does the same thing.
Right. Yeah, that seems to be, you know, what we're in for, where we're headed. Time will tell. But I kind of want to talk about our main talking point here today.
And it's a celebration of, not to say that like The Fiend is dead and Bray Wyatt is dead. It's not, but it's a celebration of life. One of the coolest things to ever happen in wrestling during the summer happened at SummerSlam 2019, when Bray Wyatt reinvents himself and formally debuts The Fiend.
We talked last week about how Broski versus Gage was probably as tense as like we've been as wrestling fans since like the WWE Summer Punk,
right?
Money in the Bank. This wasn't tense, but this felt like magic. Like, you, oh man, like we have witnessed something. Like, we've witnessed the next major reinvention. We have seen the birth of the next major character that is going to break through wrestling culture and go into pop culture. Like, it felt like we hit gold.
It it captured the imagination of fans current and lapsed. I don't know how many people came up to me who used to be wrestling fans and asked me about The Fiend. It had a different look. It had a different feel. It was completely natural. And the Bray Wyatt character before then was already original. It was a new take on the Waylon Mercy character. And he took what Waylon Mercy could have been and raised it to the nth degree. Then he takes that and mutates it into this half Mr. Rogers, half, like, I don't even know what you would call the Fiend character itself, but we are going to watch along with you all the actual match between Finn Balor and the Fiend Bray Wyatt on the Peacock, because everybody's got the cocks. So everybody pull out your cock and go to SummerSlam 2019. Get to 2 hours, 46 minutes, 50 seconds as I do the magic on our side and get the screen share going. Let me know if you see the paused screen.
I see it.
2 hours, 46 minutes, 50 seconds on your viewing, at least on the Peacock or however you're watching it. If you have the WWE Network, just go to The Fiend, man. Just do it. Just click the chapter that gets you there. But we're going to watch along, and it's a really short watch, but it's good to be taken back to a time in which we thought that, you know, to remind us of what Bray Wyatt is actually capable of. And I don't want to say the good times, but a different time, a summertime radness, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, Marcus, count it down for me.
All right. We are paused at 2:46:50. 3, 2, 1, play.
And of course, we're starting with the Finn Balor man and all of his glory coming out. Has it.
My boy.
All dressed in white. We got the augmented reality graphics. What is your thought on the actual augmented reality graphics?
Mostly hate them. Except until they just got the new stage. I don't even say stage, but the new entranceway.
So you hated it until now?
Yes.
You hated it until the big stage?
Yeah. Because it didn't go. It did not go with the stage presentation.
You know, Balor Club is for everybody. On full display. And so this is...
Very tan.
Oh, yeah, he's jacked and ripped and tan. Remember that this was supposed to be something from last year's SummerSlam? Where we were supposed to get Sister Abigail versus the Demon?
What was that? That was...
Was that SummerSlam?
No.
Was that like an Extreme Rules or something?
Something. A No Mercy or something like that. I don't know.
But we're going to lay out for this, for the first part. Finn Balor standing in the ring. And we're going to take it all in. And so Bray, the Fiend, is making his way down to the ring for the first time with a formal entrance. And the first thing I want to, or at least make mention of, the lantern.
Yeah, the old Bray Wyatt head. Some people found it really creepy. It was a good touch. Like, it's can't say toyetic. You can't make it, but
but right, it's like the Bray Wyatt head lantern is an impeccable touch. And just it lets everyone kind of, it sets the stage for what exactly the Fiend is. And of course it's the mask and the hurt heel hands. But I know when this entrance happened, I know that I at least watched it multiple times for days.
It was on every sports site I went to, every sports app I had that was open that had, you know, sports news. It was on. It was on like the whole entire week. The Fiend's entrance.
And like, meanwhile, Bray Wyatt gets in the best shape of his life for this. He is so ready. He's, we've used the phrase before from the Kobe Bryant, Kobe system stuff, but he's a different animal and yet the same beast. What on earth did we just witness? As soon as this happened, it's like new Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Set for life. The fans in attendance with the holy ass chants, and it's just, you see this and it's like, this is can't miss presentation. This was once in a lifetime, or I don't want to say once in a lifetime, but it's definitely shooting star supernova type stuff.
They talk about making movies. This is a hit.
This is a franchise. This isn't just a one-off movie. This is just even the change in the in-ring style of Bray Wyatt as the Fiend, at least in this match.
Mm-hmm.
Now the view and the in-ring vision of Bray Wyatt absolutely changed over time. But this right here, this is really can't miss. Do you remember your initial reactions to this matchup and the Fiend itself?
So I remember thinking it went, you know, too long, which it probably did. However, you also have Finn Balor in there. It's not like Finn Balor is not going to get some moves in. But I remember having a feeling like, oh snaps, they worked themselves into a shoot here. Like, how do you not put the belt on this guy as soon as possible?
Right.
And I even think a couple weeks later, if even that long, they make the announcement that the Fiend's gonna challenge for the title at the Heck in a Sec pay-per-view 2 months away.
Right. He's challenging it at Heck in a Sec, ends up losing in very precarious way. I believe it's the no contest in the cell where Seth uses the toolbox, another accoutrement.
Hits him in the face.
Yeah, busts him in the head. But it leads to the Saudi show on Halloween where Bray Wyatt actually wins the championship I believe it's the Universal title.
Yeah.
He wins the Universal Championship. And we thought that was going to be the ride of the life.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, were we wrong. You know.
Fumbled the bag is what the kids say.
Yeah, fumbled the bag. Like, they had it. And... was the Fiend one of the many victims of 50 plus year old Bill Goldberg?
Bill Goldberg. Yeah, that the other Saudi show.
Mm. So good. The Mandible Claw coming back.
Perfect. Perfect for this character. Finn trying to struggle, but Finn is out. The Fiend
with the victory. Like, everything here hits. Presentation. In one of the strangest debuts. It's so good. And to think that in less than 2 years, we go from having the most talked about star in WWE in the last, what, 10 years?
Yeah.
To being released.
No longer part of World Wrestling Entertainment life.
And that's insanity to me. It's insanity. So, of course, that is Good Place. That is Good Place. Is that Good Place Hall of Fame?
No fault of his own. If the follow-through was better, that would be Good Place Hall of Fame. I'm going Good Place, not put in the Hall of Fame, but... it is still an incredible package. It is an incredible presentation. Truly, truly exciting stuff. Like, I just, yeah, again, like, we're baffled. We're sleepy. We don't get it. Look forward to whatever he's going to do next, whether it is, you know, on screen or off. Man's got a heck of kids.
Yeah.
And you know, hey, you got JoJo, so he's the real winner in all this.
I know, he's doing it for all the big, thick boys out there. Good, God bless. What say you? Of course, let us know on Twitter at Final Place Pod, email finalwrestlingplace@gmail.com. It's your best two ways to connect, interact with the channel, or the podcast, rather. We've already talked about Guns N' Roses, but are there any other Good Place, Bad Place moments of the century, of the week for you?
Yeah, I got a Bad Place moment. Shoot from the hip here. You know, in an alternate reality, alternate life, if you will. You know, I got a tag team partner, Erica Lee. And she's been killing it the last week or so. Hyping up the Women's Super 8 tournament.
The what?
Oh, sorry. The Pooper 8.
Okay, I heard of that. I hadn't heard of the other
might
thing.
Might be more familiar with that. And she was eliminated in the first round. And it was just a bad idea. Bad idea. It was just bad. I don't want to denigrate the other talents involved. I mean, it's not like, you know, they're in there saying, oh, I should win. Like, that's not how it works. You know, whoever's in charge over there should have their decision-making abilities taken away. sell the company. You're a true dummy. If you don't at least have your most over babyface making it to the finals to lose, I've had multiple people tell me that they checked out, whether they were watching or whether they were following along on Twitter. They stopped when Erica lost in the first round. I don't know who else had multiple people bring signs. She did. Hopefully she did good at merch. She's awesome. Some real baffling decisions made at the Women's Super 8. But, she's a real pooper 8, in my opinion. So that's my bad place moment of the week. Just some real dummy decisions being made.
Yeah. That sounds about right, for the most part.
Do you have a good place moment of the week? And I hope, that it is.
It is. So we're going back. We're going back to the Guns N' Roses concert, and Mammoth opening act. They absolutely killed it. But near like the very start of the Guns N' Roses concert, to give you the perspective again, we're in an open air venue, like think of old a football field where there's bleacher stands on the outside. And we're at near the very top of our section.
Mr. Brownstone playing.
Yep. And in around row W, we just see this guy take the back bump of all back bumps from row W to like row S.
Oh,
like the dusty bumping, dustiest dusty bump. Like, oh, like rolling over, getting his toes to his hands. It was impressive. And like, I don't like to say that I love watching other people possibly be hurt. But Marcus's external reaction right now was almost me at the concert, because as soon as he fell, I was in my seat and I went, ooh.
Oh, he fell. So I got to see his face for the first row that he fell down. Oh, man, he was in shock.
He had that.
Oh man. So he fell. So like, y'all seen Hook? Not Taz's son, but talking about the classic with Robin Williams. So you got the kid does the gimmick. they roll him down the ramp, bowling pin style. And he crashes into everybody. That's what this man did, but he did it backwards.
Down the very top of the stadium.
Down like just four rows.
Oh, man. It was so great. And so afterwards.
What did you say? He was like a cat.
Yeah, you know how, like, so when he landed, he was in the middle of people, but he, like, found himself laying flat out where people's feet are in on bleachers. And you know how like a cat is part liquid. Like if there's a box on the ground and the cat is twice the size of the box, the cat will find a way to get into the box and be the size of the box. That was what this man did. This man turned aqueous and like found a way to like wiggle his body in between where like the footholds of people are, because nobody moved. Like there wasn't like a 6 foot wide gap of people,
because he was coming backwards, so they couldn't see it.
And they were,
you didn't know that this bowling pin of a 50 some year old man grown was man down.
Yeah, so he lands and it immediately takes, well, before we get to that, the medic comes over, lady
from nowhere.
Lady medic,
like a genie.
Yeah, she just poofs out of nowhere, and she goes and she checks on him, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I'm fine. I just fell. I just fell. Yep, that's exactly what you just did. And she comes back, and she is like cussing him out under her breath. Like, this effing guy gonna effing try to fall and kill himself and get drunk and be stupid on my show, make me hurt myself. How dare you? Like, it was so great. But it reminds us of another time we were at a venue.
Oh, yes.
We were at the Richmond Coliseum in Richmond, Virginia for an episode of SmackDown.
Sure were.
And we're in the seats, and this nice lady is walking down the stairs with a big bucket of popcorn, and she takes... You ever, like, take a step, you're on steps, and the step you take, you're too close to the edge of the step, so you don't land flat, and your foot is on the edge of the step, and you slip, and you go fall boom? Well, she go fall boom, and when she boom, the popcorn just goes... But not the bucket. The bucket stays it up. It's all the popcorn. Like, as soon as she lands, the popcorn goes.
Somebody punched it out of the bucket.
Yes. Like, I'm out. I'm free. Like, very comical. And so we immediately afterwards, after the guy fell, I texted Marcus while at the concert, knowing he wasn't going to see it until after the concert, going, remember that one time we saw that guy almost die at the Guns N' Roses concert? And then we immediately got taken back to Popcorn Bump Lady. I think that'd be a good topic to have on the podcast, is like things you've seen in a crowd at a venue.
Not pertaining to the actual show itself.
Like the crowd itself. Like Popcorn Bump Lady. Like... Hook bowling pin four levels guy. Let us know if you've got any stories like that. Because we also have another one. I think it might be from like the same show on SmackDown where the kids are talking about Jeff Hardy. And they're talking about the difference between Matt and Jeff Hardy.
Oh my gosh.
And why Jeff Hardy, like... Or why Matt should be better than Jeff.
It's who gets the Hardy Boys theme? Of course, Jeff has no more words at this time, and this is towards the end of his run. But the kids are like, well, yeah, who's better? And who should get the theme song? Matt or Jeff?
And one kid goes, well, Jeff is a drug addict. And we look at each other and we're like, yup.
Is that, it's hard to, you know,
out of the mouth of babes.
They said it. That's also the kid. that kid, the beer man was coming. And his kid thought it was like soda or something. He was like, oh, that looks good. I want one. And his friend was like, no, you don't. That's beer. And he goes, oh, beer. Oh, no. I don't want that.
Is this also the same kid who we got the best cheer in the history of life?
No, or- that was the HD Raw we went to. First HD Raw in 08.
So we're at HD Raw, and this kid... Only kid in attendance who says this. Hardcore Holly's on his way out. And this kid.
How do you like me now?
How do you like me now? And this kid just goes, Hardcore Holly rules.
And Hardcore Holly, wildly popular below the Mason-Dixon line.
But only for this kid, because nobody else busted out a Hardcore Holly rules. Scream.
This was this kid's dude. Like, yeah. That's who he came to see. Was
you Hardcore Holly. You might have thought that that was actually Hardcore Holly's kid for how much, how excited he was. But if you've got interesting stories like that about being in a crowd and something off the wall or funny or memorable happens, let us know. FinalWrestlingPlace@gmail.com @FinalPlacePod. Do you have any weekly purchases?
No weekly purchases. Almost got my hands on a PlayStation thanks to you. Almost got my hands on a PS5.
I'm working on it. We're working on it.
Not meant to be this week.
Yep. I got my weekly purchases. They came in. I'll talk about them. WWE Shop had a Black Friday in July sale. So I ended up getting the red and orange Austin 316 shirt.
Yes, the O-Run.
I've also got the Bobby Lashley Hurt Business shirt.
With Bobby Lindsay.
The inspiration to the Jingle Business shirt that you can get on the TeePublic store. tinyurl.com/longboxheroes. Support the Jingle Meister. And then I got the Pat McAfee, It's Great to Be Great, It Must Suck to Suck shirt. And that's my last order from WWEShop.com. It was a nice little purchase, and we're good to go. And I didn't know that the Kevin Nash action figure was on pre-order.
I did not either.
Pre-orders are done. The toy comes out October 3rd. Happy birthday, me.
Can't wait that long.
I can't either. So I got to get that fig, and I got to get the Scott Hall fig. And man, it's going to be interesting. So is there anything we're missing? Is there anything we need to cover or talk about?
I don't think so.
All right.
I think we're good.
Well, if that is the case, then it's soon-to-be-named-network.com, soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com. It's your home for this and many other podcasts, including but not limited to our wrestling offerings of At Odds with Wrestling with Joe and Adam and the We Need Wrestling podcast with DJ and Brett. Many, many other podcasts on the network. Give it a listen. At STBN Network on Twitter to follow all the posts, including when hosts from our podcasts go onto other podcasts. Those are featured there as well. Like whenever we cover a WWE, AEW, or NXT pay-per-view on our other podcast, Viewer's Choice, on the North-South Connection. NorthSouthConnection.podbean.com. It's another wonderful podcast network with just a slew of wrestling content covering the different eras of the WWE, the different eras of WCW, ECW, TNA, comic books. There's a 90210 podcast. So many other things to listen out for. And there might be something else coming up in the works for us. For that, so be on the lookout for that, as we may be in the midst of chronicling one of the lost best eras in wrestling history. We'll more on that to come. A shout out to our pod adjacent friends over at the A Show at 3 Count Thursday at Pod Van Dam, and a huge thank you to our official third man, the Jingle Meister of the Soon to Be Named Network and many other podcasts, David Kincannon, aka DeWiki, the Sneaker Dean. Check him out. Follow Hit My Music Pod on Twitter for all the updates on David Kincannon's upcoming project. Should be super great. We look to have him on as he gets closer to the rollout date, so we can let you guys know what exactly is going on with that.
Final Wrestling Place.
Final Wrestling Place.
What's going on? That's right. He's responsible for all of the imaging you hear on this podcast and other podcasts on the network, including the song you're hearing right now in the background. A big thank you, a big I love you to Mr. David Cannon. And we love you guys, too. Without you guys, there's no us. It's just us talking on the microphone to each other. And we're glad to be able to share these memories, these moments, this conversation with you guys. Next week, we are going to cover Flexi Lexi and Hollywood.
Hollywood.
For the for the WCW Championship unless the WWE wants to cut somebody else real stupid. So, for Marcus, I'm Tim. This has been Final Wrestling Place. We'll see you back here next week for more fun. Marcus, tell the people goodbye.
Bye, boys.
Back. Seven, nine.